my will tonight, and the prayer. We're just grateful to God that we can be together to worship and serve the Lord again. Before I begin preaching, I want to tell you about Annette Goots. That's Eddie's mother. She really is in room 729. I believe it was listed 479, but it's 729. I don't know how often you hear a sermon on Nebuchadnezzar, but tonight we want to study about a man that you can read about in the Bible. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and confidence of the Scriptures might have hope. We can go back and read that about those people that God has inscribed their names in His book so we can learn something about them. And this series of lessons is so we might learn something that will help us. And you can learn from people that are very good, dedicated servants of the Lord. And you can learn from people who are not dedicated, who no longer serve the Lord, or who never has. Tonight we're talking about a man named Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a king. He was king of Babylon. He was the ruler over the defeated Jews. In his final assault on Jerusalem in about 586 B.C., he took captive most of the Jews. He didn't take them all, those who were feeble, those who were elderly, those people that could not be of help to him. He did not rescue them. Nebuchadnezzar was a man that was lifted up with pride. He had been very successful. Many, many countries lifted up him as being indeed an individual who had been successful as a warrior. But he was so proud. The Bible over and over uses this word, pride. Here is a man. He erects a statue, some maybe 60 feet, and it's all made out of gold. And then he proclaims to all of his subjects, you are to bow down to this statue. You are therefore to make allegiance to him. And he makes a decree that the sound of music, all the inhabitants of Babylon were required to bow before his image and worship him. Isn't it a terrible thing that a man wants people to worship him? He wanted everybody to worship him. I guess God could have said, I've had enough. I'm going to show you now who is in charge. As a matter of fact, in Daniel 4:37, we read where the Bible says, and those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. God gives Nebuchadnezzar a dream. You ever had a dream? Most of us have. He detailed his fall and his demise. Nebuchadnezzar was not able to interpret the dream. He had magicians. He had people that are supposed to know those things, but they cannot explain what his dream really meant. And not only is that true, the Bible tells us that he knew another man named Daniel. Daniel, one of those that had been carried away into captivity. You'll remember how Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And notice that the Bible tells us how that Daniel was a young man at that time. And not only is that true, we find that there was something that Daniel had that this king knew that he had. He had the Spirit of the Lord. He knew Daniel knew the Lord. And the revelation of the dream, whenever it was told to Daniel, actually really, just really surprised Daniel. He was astonished at it. Here's the king. As he's unraveled this dream to Daniel, and it was hard for Daniel to cope with the news that had been revealed to him because he's got to tell the king now what this dream really means. Nebuchadnezzar's dream revealed that he was given the mind of an animal and driven from power to live with the beasts of the field and eat grass like oxen for a period of 7 times. Probably 7 years. Following Nebuchadnezzar's 7 years of living like an animal, he comes to his senses. We read in chapter 4 of Daniel, verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised. We see a little bit of the end as we began. Something's going to happen to this man. He is lifted up with pride. He would act like an animal. He would eat like animals. His body would look like the hair was eagle's feathers. And his nails would be like bird's claws. What a terrible, disgusting description of Daniel, one from Daniel concerning Nebuchadnezzar. Let's go back now and begin in Daniel chapter 4 and read together some things about this man. The Bible tells us that it's Nebuchadnezzar that is first speaking in this chapter. Listen to what Nebuchadnezzar has to say. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. I dreamed. I wanted my men to tell me what that dream was. And then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, they all came in. I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. That's Nebuchadnezzar speaking. And in him is the Spirit of the Holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the Spirit of the Holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. In Daniel 4 and verse 10, he now describes that dream. These were the visions of my head while I was on my bed. I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. And I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree, cut off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it, and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, however, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with the band of iron and bronze. In the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast on the grass of the earth. Nebuchadnezzar, what do you say? These were the things that I saw when I was on my bed. This is what's been revealed to me, and I want someone to tell me. In Daniel 4:16, let his heart be changed from that of a man, it said. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. And this decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomsoever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. Daniel 4:18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belshazzar, declare its interpretation. Since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. He had a lot of confidence, didn't he, in Daniel. Daniel now explains the dream. Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for a time. His thoughts troubled him. And the king speaks up to him, So the king spoke and he said, Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. He was troubled. He'd heard something. He was going to have to declare it to the king. Belshazzar answered and said, my Lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies. And I want you to pay close attention to what Daniel says. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in those in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home, it is you. You have that a lot of times, don't you, in the Bible. Here is Daniel. He's telling Belshazzar, he's telling Nebuchadnezzar, rather, he's telling Nebuchadnezzar, this dream is about you. You, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and it reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. I remember another story, don't you? About a man that was told by Nathan the prophet, given a parable before him concerning how that there was a rich man, and this rich man had guests, and this rich man went out and took this poor man's only ewe lamb that he had. He brought it in and had it dressed, and David now is standing there, and Nathan is telling him, David is angry, he's upset, he looks down at him, and he says to Nathan, the man that's done this thing shall surely die and restore him fourfold. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 7, Nathan points his finger to David. He says, thou aren't the man. David, I'm talking about you. Here, that's exactly what Daniel is telling King Nebuchadnezzar. I am talking about you. Inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, and leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with the band of iron and bronze and the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king. They shall drive you. Who? You. They shall drive you with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he chooses. I wish everybody would read that. That has never changed. God gives it into the hands of whom he makes the choice over. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. I love that expression. After you know that heaven is in charge of the kingdoms on the earth. Here's this man. He's great. He's got all kinds of subjects. He's really proud. He can just have anything he wants except he does not have the power unless God allows him to have it. Therefore, O king, can't you just hear Daniel saying to him, O king, I want to advise you. Let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being, what? Righteous. And your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar said when Belshazzar, which was Daniel, told him, and he was astonished. And Belshazzar was told, yes, my King Nebuchadnezzar, tell it like it is. And that's exactly what Daniel had done. Pride. You can see it throughout the whole thing regarding Nebuchadnezzar. I read in Proverbs 16, verse 18, before a man falls, he's lifted up with pride. Listen to the words. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A man that has that disposition is left himself up to fall and be destroyed. And this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months. I want you to listen carefully. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? You see in all that? Pride. Why, I've done this. I built the royal dwelling. I've got everything in it that is conceivable. I've got a dwelling and I've done it. It was me that did it. And then, by my mighty power, I command a man to do this. I have the power and he does it. And for the honor of my majesty, men call upon me as their God. They pray to me because I am Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to notice what God says. The Bible says, while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. While he was still speaking this disastrous language as he did, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. What goes before the fall? Pride. In the case of Nebuchadnezzar, immediately there came the voice from heaven that fell and told him he now had been, his kingdom had been departed from him. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Here's this man who's so powerful. Here's this man that just said, look at me, look what I've done. But look what the Bible says. They shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. What? Yes. Who? This individual that had built him a house, a beautiful, wonderful place to live, who now was in command until the voice from heaven speaks to him. And there shall be seven times that shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. It happened just like that. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. That very hour. And the Bible says he was driven from men and he ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Disgustingly. Why? A man with pride who had been lifted up now is brought down. It has happened to him just as God said. And let me point this out. God never makes a mistake. And we need to listen to His Word ourselves. Psalms 119, verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. That Word is where? In your heart. Why is it there? It's because you want to know what sin is, so you will not engage in it. In Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says that we are to remember God saying that the Word of God is surely that which comes forth from God. In John 12, verse 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, Jesus said, shall judge him in the last day. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Powerful. God's Word. And now, we learn about this man. We learn now he turns to God. The Bible says at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. It's Nebuchadnezzar who is saying, it's not me, but it's God. He is the one who rules. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, what have you done? If God did it, it was right. At the same time, He says, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are true and His ways justice. And those who walk in pride, He is able to put down. The very man who had walked in his castle, look what all I have done. Now he says, not me, but it is God. This account of Nebuchadnezzar helps us to view the sin of pride as God views it. In Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly wisdom. Proverbs 16, verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 29, 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, 18, Galatians 6, verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. James 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Then we read in Proverbs 26, verse 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Proverbs 8, 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do, God says, I hate. In Jeremiah 9, verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Pride. 1 John 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Romans 12, verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Then we read in Proverbs 27, verse 2, let another man praise thee, and let not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. So many things God says about pride. Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And then the immortal passage that every one of us knows, where the Bible tells us through the wise man, these six things the Lord hates. He hates them. Yea, seven are abomination to him. Number one, a proud look. One who's lifted up with pride. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift and run into evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. Pride. How God hates it. Every individual that is guilty of that sin is going to have to give an account to God. Why? Because God hates it. Then Peter makes this so clear. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, likewise you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Truly, my friend, when you look at Nebuchadnezzar, a man who was so full of pride, but he was brought down low. And finally, once he had gone through all that he did, he then turns upward and he sees who is to be praised, who is to be served. And he concludes what God wanted to hear from him, that He, God, gives the kingdom to whomsoever He wills, because heaven is in complete control. I hope tonight, as we've gone back to the Old Testament and we looked at this phase of his life with Nebuchadnezzar, that each of us will want to do everything we can to be just as humble servant of the Lord as we can. Never lifting ourselves up, saying we're better than others, any of those things like that, but just being thankful to God that we can just be a simple servant of Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, here is water. What does hinder you to be baptized? It will take you to condescend. It will take you to humble yourself. If you believe Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God, won't you tonight confess that sweet name? Won't you this evening in this audience, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, do so by being buried with your Lord in baptism, rising up to walk in newness of life. Or if you're here tonight, you're a Christian, and you haven't lived faithfully in the service of the Lord, you want us to pray with you and for you? Yes. Forget pride. Acknowledge your fault. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5 and verse 16. I want to tell you a story and the lesson will be yours. When our daughter Tabitha was about 3 years old, she had, as you know, she's had cerebral palsy all of her life. One thing that dearly hurt us was where we were. We learned of a family that had told their little girl, who was about Tabitha's age, that she could not play with Tabitha. She couldn't have anything to do with Tabitha. They were afraid that their child might get what Tabitha had. And she was not to play with our daughter. When we found that out, we were just as kind as we could be to them. We tried to explain to them that we understood that it was not something that was communicated. It was something that was happened to her at birth. It's sad that we judge others, think ourselves so much better. Let me tell you tonight, whether young, middle-aged, or old, all of us are just simple human beings. We want to do the Lord's will in capacity that we have. I love to hear about a man who has risen now back and exclaimed for all time, Jehovah is God that we should serve. If you're here tonight and you're not serving Him, won't you turn to Him and obey Him? Oh, we hope you will. While together we stand and while we sing.